These words were asked on several television shows throughout history. They were asked on Perry Mason. They were asked on Matlock. They were asked on Law and Order. And in 1940, they asked Curly the same question. That was in 1940. People understood truth a little differently then. Today, perhaps our understanding and approach to truth is better reflected in this video clip.
Do you want to become great?
You don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Some of the most famous words in recent television history. You can't handle the truth. Maybe that's where we are. Or maybe where we are is that we don't want to choose to handle the truth. We don't want to face the truth. Because we can all resonate with this, you can't handle the truth. In 2006, Webster's company, who produce and publish the dictionary, did what they usually do. They pick a word of the year. A new word which comes into parlance and regularity, which is then added to the dictionary. And in 2006, the word was truthiness. Truthiness. Defined by Webster as believing something that feels true, even if not supported by fact. That was in 2006. In 2016, just 3 months ago, at the end of the year, the Oxford International Dictionary people identified their word of the year. Their word, post-truth. Post-truth. And their definition? When objective facts are less influential than emotions and personal belief. Do you see the trending? Now listen, you can believe whatever you want is true when you step on the scale. Okay? You can believe whatever you want. Doesn't change the truth, but you can believe what you want and probably nobody else is going to know or even question. However, today we ask ourselves about truth. Because you see, our culture is moving in this direction whereby there are serious questions in the minds of many people about whether there even is truth or what truth is. The implications is that truth is variable and depends pretty much on whatever you want it to be. You've heard this, you've sensed this, maybe you've even said it, but I contend to you today that this trending is a little bit like the Trojan horse that looks fine on the outside but contains harmful invaders once we look more closely on the inside. And so the question before us today is singularly this: is there any such thing as absolute truth? And we look at it under the banner of our sermon series, Sources of Hope. Because I contend and believe what the scriptures teach, and that is that there is absolute truth. And in that truth, as the scriptures that Karen read a moment ago reveal, in that truth, there is hope. And that's what we're going to get to in a little while. But if this is the question, is there any such thing as absolute truth, then there's only one of two answers, right? It's either yes or it's no. We start with what many people believe today, and perhaps some of you. Many people today believe no. There is no such thing as absolute truth. Study after study in the last 10 years have revealed that huge percentages of people do not believe there's any such thing as absolute truth. 60% of Americans, when they are asked, do you believe in absolute truth, which is applicable in all places, in all seasons, in all times, 60% say no. And some studies suggest that 50% of Christians say the same thing. And again, you've been out there. And you listen, and you talk, and you work with people, and you have children who go to school, and you know their parents, and you have these conversations. And if you are listening carefully, you are hearing this 60% say, no, not really. You see, it's so much easier when there isn't, when the answer is no. It's so much easier, and it's so much more fun, because you get to do whatever you want. Truth is whatever you want it to be. Right and wrong is whatever you want it to be. There's this great sense of freedom of just do my own thing, which, by the way, is the national motto today, isn't it, in our narcissistic culture. Just do your own thing, because there's no such thing as absolute truth. There's no straight line that I have to follow. So many people say no. They say, if it's true for me, it's true. If it's true for you, it's true. And heaven forbid, many would contend in this answer, no, that heaven forbid I tell you what truth is, because your truth is your truth, my truth is my truth, so I'm going to tolerate you and you're going to tolerate me, and we're just going to go along. But remember the Trojan horse, my friends. It looks nice on the outside, but there's some invaders that are ready to hurt us on the inside if this is what you believe. We are in the first couple of generations, probably 30 years now, of Americans who, since the founding of our country, do not, for in the majority, do not believe that there's an absolute truth. First generations, two generations, since the founding of our country, that do not believe, the majority, that there's an absolute truth. Now, we're not the first culture or country ever to be in this place. So let's take a look at another culture who likewise believe this. We go to the Bible. Surprise. 3,000 years ago, as Israel had been established and there were 12 tribes, the tribes were trying, and the nation of Israel was trying to get organized and have leadership. And there was a season of kings, and actually there's books in the Old Testament of kings. And then there was a season of a couple of hundred years where there were no kings, there were judges, and these were local leaders. And local leaders essentially started doing their own thing. You've heard, for example, of Samson. He was one of the judges. Well, they started doing their own thing, and then they lost authority, they lost power. And in this season of Israel's history, the book of Judges ends with these ominous words. The book of Judges ends with the words, "There was no king in Israel, and everyone just did what was right in their own eyes." Listen to that. There was no king, no central authority, no central truth, if you will. And so everyone just did what was right in their own eyes. Does that sound familiar? Today, does that not sound very familiar in our culture and country? Everyone just kind of does what is right in their own eyes. Well, let me tell you how it worked out for the judges. Civil war. Destruction of the culture. Disunity and decay. Everything fell apart for a good long time. And we have no reason to expect, even in our cultural arrogance, that the result of doing this today, of just doing what's right in our own eyes, of not believing in truth, will have any different result. We have no reason to think that it's not going to be the same result. But some people still insist, no, There's no such thing as absolute truth. Paul, in the passage Karen read a moment ago, is warning Timothy, his young protege, who's preaching and teaching, to be very careful because there's a couple of people in the church who are wandering from the truth and causing disintegration and decay. It happened in the church very early on. And probably still it happens in the church today because the church lives in this culture. So even the church has to be very careful about what we understand to be truth. In the early part of the church, around the year 400, the great theologian and philosopher St. Augustine, who famously said that our hearts are restless till they rest in God, and many other truths which are at the foundation of Western Christianity, St. Augustine wrote, "When regard for truth has been broken down or even slightly weakened, all things remain doubtful." All things remain doubtful. So, if I cannot believe and trust that this podium is engineered in a specific way so as to hold me up, and that the truth of the engineering principles that go into this podium are in question, I'm not standing before you real confident. I'm standing here wondering if this is going to fall apart. I'm doubting that it's going to hold me. When there is no truth underlying, there is doubt, there is anxiety, there is uncertainty, and those things are rampant in our society today because so many people don't believe and know that there is one set of truths. And also, finally, for us as Christians, if you say no, there's no absolute truth, then the Bible is a pack of lies, Jesus is a liar, and why are you here? You shouldn't even be listening to me. If you believe there's no set of absolute truths, God's just a fairy tale. And by the way, there are many people out in society today who use those exact words. God's just a fairy tale. I talk to young people all the time. They're hearing it from their friends, sometimes even their teachers. So yes, that's possibly an answer, that there's not any absolute truth. And you have to decide, because it's either yes or no. I believe with all my heart that it is yes. There is absolute truth. That God has created the world and human life with absolute principles, with absolute certainties, with absolute truths that run throughout and are woven throughout all of human history and all of human life, and which give us a straight line to go from A to B without any deviation or detour. That we can be sure of, and therefore we can have hope in and hope about. Let's think about a couple of the worldly principles, the worldly truths, okay? Okay, it's a baseball. So think of it this way. 500 years ago in Brazil, a little boy is doing what I'm doing. Can he have confidence that when he throws the ball up 500 years ago in Brazil, the ball's going to come down? Can he be sure of that? Yes or no? Sure he can. 2,000 years ago, a man in China has another ball, thrown it up. Can he have confidence that it's going to come down? Of course. 1,000 years ago, in the field of mathematics, when some people get together and they're counting, and they have two of this and two of that, and they want to figure out how many they have. Are they going to have four? Is it going to be four in Egypt as well as in Zimbabwe? Of course it is. And when people trip over wires and then go over to the piano, middle C. 3,000 years ago, when someone had an instrument, whether they named it this way or not, was that middle C? Of course. You see, God has woven certain absolute truths into the world for our welfare and our benefit. They do not change. They guide life. They give us hope that when I throw the ball up, it's going to come down. And that when I add two and two, it's going to be four. Why, therefore, would we doubt that God has not likewise woven spiritual principles into the world for the same purpose? Why would we doubt that? Because that's the truth. There are spiritual principles that God has woven into the whole fabric of human life. And you can trust them. Because the answer is yes. Think of it this way. You're driving in the mountains out in Colorado. Roads are kind of curvy, and you come up on a sign, dangerous roads ahead, extreme curves, be very careful. You have a choice. You can slow down, you can speed up, or you can stay the same speed. Your choice. But whatever you choose isn't going to change the fact what? That the road is curvy. You're just going to discover the consequences of speeding up on a curvy road. Or the consequence of slowing down and going safely around those curves. But your response isn't going to change the truth. People have said that God doesn't so much break us on his truth, but we break ourselves by violating the truth. And I see that over and over again in human behavior. And you do too. And hopefully you've learned by some of the experiences you've had that have not been too painful that these truths are there. And we are far, far better off when we follow and believe them. Once there was a man in Europe in the early 20th century. And every day he walked to his job at the factory. And every day on his walk to the factory, he went past a watchmaker's store, a man who built and made watches. Every day he would stop at the window and look in at one particular clock, kind of a demonstration clock right in the window. He would stop there, he would look at his watch, and then he would adjust his watch to what he saw in the window. And then he would go on. Well, after a while, the owner of the clock shop, the watch shop, came out and said, "Well, I see you stop every day here. Why?" He says, "Well, I'm a little embarrassed to tell you this, but I go to the factory, and my job, I'm the timekeeper at the factory. But my watch is often, almost every day, a little bit off. So I stop in front here to set my watch. So I blow the whistle right at 4 o'clock, and everybody can leave on time." Well, the man who owned the store started chuckling a little bit. He said, "Well, I got to confess something to you." He said, "You know that clock in the window? That's kind of off. So every day at 4 o'clock, I listen for the whistle at the factory. And I reset the clock." What happens when there is no absolute truth? Is that nothing is certain. Augustine is right. Everything is doubted. And that's not how God intends us to live. God intends us to live by certain truth. And God sent that truth in the man named Jesus, who revealed, who lived, who embodied God's truth. Jesus is the personification of that truth. Listen to some of the things that Jesus said about it, because when we get the repetitive statements of Jesus, we realize that God's intent through Christ is to convey this truth. So Jesus, this is all Jesus saying. "I tell you the truth," he begins. "You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Later, Jesus, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit." Again, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony." And more. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, the Son of Man can do nothing by himself. He can do only what the Father sees, what he sees his Father doing." Jesus says again to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you bread from heaven, but it is my heavenly Father." Once again, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life." On and on it goes. "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." On and on, Jesus begins his statements with "I tell you the truth." And then there's that fascinating and most powerful of all statements where Jesus says, "I am the truth and the way and the life. I am the truth." You look at Jesus, you see the truth of God. You follow Jesus, you follow the truth, because there is absolute truth embodied and personified in the man named Jesus, who became for us our Savior, saving us from the dangers of not believing that there is truth. All by God's grace. So you can live a life of joy and meaning and purpose following this straight and sure line of truth. Friends, there's a lot of people out there telling you this is the truth and that's the truth. Day by day, you have to decide how to live, what to believe, what to say, what to teach your children, your grandchildren. In the Midwest, a number of years ago, there was a science fair for high school students, and one very ingenious student did an experiment. He actually won an award for this. He decided to put together a petition to get people to sign this petition against a certain chemical. And he told people this is a dangerous chemical. And this is what he said. He said, "We must control the total or totally eliminate this chemical, dihydrogen monoxide. And here's why." And this was in his campaign. "Because it can cause excessive sweating and vomiting. It's a major component in acid rain. It can cause severe burns in a gaseous state. Accidental inhalation will kill you. It contributes to the erosion of our natural landscape. It decreases the effectiveness of automobile brakes. And it's found in tumors of terminal cancer patients. We must eliminate dihydrogen monoxide. It is dangerous." 50 people were polled. 43 signed it. The petition, "We got to get rid of it." Only one of the 50 knew what it was. Dihydrogen monoxide is, anybody know? Water. But because of the way he put together his petition, the way he was so certain and absolute, telling people the truth, using facts, people simply signed. You have to decide, my friends, how to live. And the scriptures contend, and Jesus asks, that if you follow me, you're following the truth, because I am the way and the truth. And that's how Christians are supposed to live. In the truth. Will you pray with me? Our Father God, we confess to the great struggle in our culture and country to understand truth, for so many claim to know it, to have it. So keep us focused, God. Help us to hear today and to continue to learn tomorrow and tomorrow of the truths of Jesus and to follow them. For he has told us that by knowing this truth, we shall be free. And that's what you want for us, Lord. Freedom from all the doubt and the worry, the anxiety, the fear. And that freedom comes when we follow Jesus, the truth. So help us, Lord. Help us to follow more and more day by day. Amen.